Okay, we're continuing where we left off last week. Last week we were talking about Netzach and Hod are the two dear friends. And we discussed the whole idea of Netzach and Hod being the 2 feet, the support of Torah. We discussed how Chanukah and Purim and Chanukah are Netzach and Hod. We discussed how it's appropriate to give a lot of tzedakah Chanukah and Purim. We discussed also about why the book of Esther was written and why the book of the Maccabees was not written, so that we would have only the 24 books of the Torah. We did the Gematria of Chanukah and a lot of amazing things. So it's going to be another amazing class. We're going to focus more particularly on Netzach specifically today and Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the focus for tonight. We start with a little story that Reb Shimon Schwab brings in his Siddur. He talks of Jews who were being brought to their deaths to the Nazis. And the big rabbi amongst them, most people as they were going to their deaths, they said Shema Yisro. This rabbi said no. He told them to say something else. And what was it? Well, we say it after the end of Hashem Elokeichem Emes in Shema Yisrael is the next blessing of Emes V'Yatziv. That's right. True and certain. After Hashem Elokeichem Emes, so we say Emes. And those words are saying that everything that we just said is MS, it's true, the God of the world is our king from one generation to another. It goes on talking about how emphatic, true, and 15 expressions of how everything we said is true and we have no other God but you, Hashem. And the question, why did this Gadol choose this prayer instead of the regular Shema? Okay, we'll put that question onto the side. Now we're going to go in a very circuitous route. Yes? Netzach? You're going to find out. Tonight you're going to find out. We talked a lot about it last week. We're going to talk a lot more this week and next week. And let's go to a piece in Derech Hashem, which is a very interesting piece. And we're going to focus now on the Amidah. I know this doesn't seem to be taking us anywhere you think, but you'll see. It's going to be amazing. So the Amidah has how many brachos?
19.
And how do we divide them up?
Three
at the end. So Derech Hashem writes, I got the Hebrew and the English. He says, one of the things that happens when you're praying to Hashem, you bring down Shefa. You bring down a flow of energy that comes down. And in the first three brachos, you have three different energies are being represented. And what I might as well just go right to the English for many of those who can't read the Hebrew. I can't have it both ways. I can't have it the Hebrew English.
I forgive you.
So he says the first three brachos of Mogen Avraham and Mechaye Meisim and Atokadosh, these are talking about the three energies that are represented by Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And which are the words, he doesn't really get into all the details in over here, but we know that means Chesed, Gvur, and Tiferes. First three brachas, we talk about the general energies that Hashem can bring down into the world. That's the praises of God. And Avram is Chesed, Yitzchak is Gvura, Yaakov is Tiferes. And we're mentioning these three brachas, which are directly talking about them and indirectly by Hakel HaKadosh. And we talk about the energies that come down into the world that the patriarchs were able to emulate and therefore bring them down. And these are the three energies that come down to us in general. Then the next 12 brachos are in honor of the 12 tribes. And those are further subdivisions of the energies that come down. But that's not what I really want to spend so much time on. I want to spend my time on the last part. And this is what I got in the bold in the Hebrew. He says, Ubegimel achronot, and in the last three brachos, mitchazek umityashev b'mekablim. So how do we translate that? They get the energies get strengthened, and they're internalized by those receiving them. Okay, how al yedei ha'hoda'a shenot nimalov, through the thanksgiving and praise that we give him. Vizek klal tikun hatfila kula, and this is the general refinement of all prayer. So basically, we'll just overview this. The first three blessings correspond to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. The middle ones correspond to the Shvatim. The last three, he's not saying this, but they're thanksgiving. And he's leaving out some important information. So we have to look at other commentaries. Oh, well, if the first three were Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, okay, what are the last three going to be? So they're saying those are Moshe, Aaron, and Yosef. It's the next spheros. Where's David? So he hints to it, and he says, well, David just takes all the energies of the Avos, he coordinates it to make the utopian state. He says that Hashem's name, Yud, Hey, Vav, Hey, Avram, Yisrael, Yekar, Yud, Hey, and the Vav, and David is that final Hey to put it all together. Okay, but what I want to discuss is that last section he talks about. He says that the last three brachas, all he says, very briefly, is Ugimel Achroni Mischazek Umisyashev B'Mekablim. So it strengthens them, and they're internalized by them receiving them, and he calls them thanksgiving. Okay, so let's analyze this bracha, the first of the last three, Ritzeh. Let's take a look at this bracha and see what it says. And we should have a couple questions on this. So it hasn't been that long since most of us have said this bracha. So we say, Ritzeh Hashem Elokeinu v'yamcha Yisrael v'isvilasam. Hashem Ritzeh, be pleased with your Jewish people and their prayers. V'hashev eso avodo lidvir beisech, and restore the service to your holy temple. V'yishay Yisrael esfilasam, and the karbanos of the Jewish people, the fire offerings and the prayers, ba'ava, with love, sekabel beratzon, and receive them with good desire. They should be acceptable to you. U'sehila ratzon tamid avod Yisrael mecha, and constantly the servants of your Jewish people should be pleasing before you. And our eyes should once again behold, as you return to Zion in mercy. Baruch atah Hashem, blessed Hashem, amachazir shekhinah sozer, returns your presence to Zion. Okay, what is this bracha saying? What is the content in one sentence? What's the content of this bracha? You say it all the time. What are we saying?
We're blessing ourselves.
Well, you want things to continue.
It's a bakasha.
What's the bakasha exactly? You should accept our prayers. And what else?
And to see the Mashiach.
And we should be able to see your Shekhinah is back in Zion. So is it now? What did Lutzado say is the last three brachas? He says the last three are strengthened by those in through the thanksgiving which they give to him. I don't see any thanksgiving.
You say modim.
Modim is thanksgiving, but he said the last three. This is one. This is before modim.
Yes, before.
It's not thanking Hashem for anything.
Yes, he's still asking.
On the contrary,
it's a request.
It's a bakashot.
So that there's the whole prayer there. Mm-hmm. So isn't the blessing of Modim the only blessing of Thanksgiving? Not all three. Even Sim Shalom is not Thanksgiving. The only one that's the Thanksgiving is Modim, but he's saying the last three are Thanksgiving. How do you understand that? And more than that, what did you just say in the bracha before Ritzei? Shema Koleinu Hashem. What does that mean?
Another request.
No, that's okay. That's the middle 13.
Listen to our prayers.
So listen to our prayers. So what are you saying in the first half of Ritzei any different? Accept our prayer.
We are praising
We're not. Again, look. Be pleased, Lord our God, with your people Israel, with their prayer, and restore the service to your holy temple. What? It's a request, but it's the same thing you said in Shema Kolenu. Listen to our prayers. So I understand. So how does Lutzado call it Thanksgiving? And it seems to be saying just about the same thing as before.
Because now we know he heard us. Mm-hmm. We're at the beginning. We're opening the tefillah.
Shema Koleinu was the 16th bracha. It's ready, and we say, Hashem, listen to our prayers. Listen to our prayers.
We know He did already. It's been happened.
How do we know?
It says everything came from Hashem. Therefore, you're thanking Him for everything that you got.
No,
is that what we're saying?
Yeah.
Don't tell me what you think it says. Tell me what it says. Tell me what it says. What does it say? Be pleased, Lord our God, with your people Israel, and with their prayer, and restore the service to your temple.
No, that is,
it doesn't say that here. It says V'secha zenen yinu b'shuv chol etzion b'rachamim ha-machazir shchinat ol etzion.
Yeah, because it's a machazir, it's in a past.
No.
No?
One who returns, you have to return it. So these are the questions. So let's analyze this bracha. Understanding that this is the bracha of Moshe, and Moshe represents the sphere of Netzach. And we'll understand what Netzach is, and before we're finished, we'll give about four meanings to it, and they're all interlapping. So what's the theme of this bracha? Is there is a request. We're requesting that the relationship we have with Hashem should be forever. And as a function of that, Hashem should always be pleased with us. And that becomes our assurance that He will once again return His divine spirit to the Beis HaMikdash. So what we're saying is, this blessing, that what Hashem gave us, He gave us a Beis HaMikdash. We know He listens to our prayers. He's enabled us to have an order of tefillah that is meant to, in some way, parallel korbanos. And we're saying to Hashem that thank you, not just for what you're doing now, but what you're going to give us forever. And when Lotzado says these are the things that, again, the Hebrew that he uses are, in Hebrew it said it should be mischazeku misyashev. It should sit well with us. It should be internalized in us. So what he's saying is that this is not a one-time deal, but it's a permanent one which we have a real stake in. You know, and we're so confident of this. We're positive that Hashem will always receive our davening to the point that we know He's going to return the Shekhinah back to Tzion. It's only a matter of time. And He's always pleased by us. He desires our prayers. He's pleased by our prayers. We're confident the relationship will be forever. It could be right now in our relationship we're at a low point because we're in the Golus. But it's not going to last because Hashem will return His divine presence to Tzion. And what we're focusing on is the eternity of the relationship. That it's not just a one time, but it's a part of a loving relationship. That's part of Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is to acknowledge what's going on. That's really what thanks is. It's to acknowledge what Hashem is doing. So what are we acknowledging in this bracha? That we have an eternal relationship with Hashem. That's what we're saying. The first step in receiving is to know that it's forever. Now let me give you a mashal to make it clearer. Okay, so we have from time to time people, mishulachim, come to our home for some worthy organizations, and they want to fundraise from us. So there's two kinds of responses you can give the fundraiser. Response number one is you're really not interested in giving him any money, but he's not leaving you alone, so you got to give him some money. So you say, here's $100, but do me a favor, don't come back. Next year when you come back again, you know, I don't come. That's one kind of gift, $100, but don't come back. Another guy listens, says, oh, it's very nice. Here's $18. And please, when you come next year, come back again. Now, which one does the fundraiser want to deal with more, the first or the second?
Second.
The second. Why? Because the first guy, even though he gave him more money, he says, that's it. I'm not interested anymore in you. So there's really no relationship at all. He gave me the money, and don't come back. The other fellow says, listen, here's $18. Come again. And the fundraiser hopes that the next year he'll be able to show more good work that the organization does. And by consistently contacting this person will feel a connection, and they'll develop a relationship. And what all the big fundraisers say, the professional fundraisers say, it's all about relationships. The more you have a relationship with the person, the more they feel vested in what you're doing, and the more they're going to give to you. So that's what we're saying to Hashem. When you daven to Hashem, what's the context of your davening to Hashem? Is that, Hashem, I need something from you now. And Hashem says, okay, you're bugging me like crazy. Okay, here, go have it. But don't come back again. Mm-hmm. Or it's something you want, something that's going to be a long-term relationship. Netzach, which has many meanings, Netzach means eternity. Forever. So Netzach can define the relationship between us and Hashem. And we will see this is in the merit of Moshe, which we'll talk about more later on, who makes this everlasting bond between the Jewish people and Hashem. Mm-hmm. And Moshe set up for us the way of service that we have to go through in order to get forgiveness, as it's part of a long-term relationship, and the eternity of that relationship is in the merit of Moshe Rabbeinu. Netzach means forever, eternity. Now, if you look back at the tefillah, you're going to see that fits in very nicely. Ritzei Hashem Elokeinu B'vachas. Hashem, you should be pleased with what we've done now in our prayers. But we wanted the context of, and you should return our service to your Beis HaMikdash. And that Yehil Ratzon Tamid Avodas Yisrael. That the service of Jews should, the critical word is Tamid. Always. Should always be something that you want from us. Okay? And that to such an extent that we're going to come back to the Beis HaMikdash, and we're saying, and we know that the prophets have told us that we're going to come back. So although right now the relationship is a little bit shaky, we're happy that we know you're listening to us. And you're not listening to us just for once and get out of here. You're always going to listen to us, and it's going to grow and get stronger till we'll come back and the Shekhinah will be back, and it'll be really strong the way it used to be. That this is extremely important midah, because it's not enough as well. Okay, so let me just add one more interesting throw out a gematria again. Okay, what is the last part of the Seder called? Well, what's it called? The title. Hallel. Matzah. What's the last one?
Nirtzah.
Nirtzah is the last step. What does Nirtzah mean? To be accepted. The same root as?
Accepted.
As Ritzay. What are we saying at the end of the Seder? Chasal Seder Pesach Kilchasal? Ah, Kein Yiskel Yiskel. We should merit. And Lashana Haba Birushalayim. Right? And then we sing Lashana Haba Birushalayim. I know Pesach now is in Chutz Laaretz, it's in the Golos. We hope you appreciate and you accept our service. This is only a fraction. We didn't bring a Korban Pesach. And we hope we'll come back to the fact that you bring a Korban Pesach. Now, of course, many people ask the question, Moshe's name is not in the Seder. What happened? The answer is, it's hinted to. Because Nirtza is the Gematria 345. And Moshe is 345.
Okay. Signed.
So really, but it right,
no,
345.
Right.
So that's Nirtza, and that's Moshe. That's the same thing. It's Netzach. You finish the Seder, and we want to see it. It's like the Seches Enoinen. It's exactly the same thing. It's all in the merit of Moshe Rabbein. Okay. So with this idea that we want the relationship to be long-term, and that's what the Amida does for us in that specific bracha. So let's go back to our story. Why did the rabbi say that they should end their lives with the words Emes v'yatziv v'nachon v'kayom v'yashor v'ne'mon v'elhu v'chavivit? All these precious words. Because they were going under very difficult circumstances. And the circumstances they were in, which seemed to say that the Shema Yisrael isn't true. Doesn't quite look so true right now. So he wants to impress upon them, no. It's emes v'yatziv v'nachon v'kayam v'yashar. It's eternal, never stop. It's not just Shema Yisrael Hashem Elkein Hashem Echad. It really is true and it's going to be forever. And even though right now you might not think so, and it doesn't look like Shema Yisrael Hashem Elkein Hashem Echad, we're saying on our last words, we know that it's true. Even though we may not see it or sense it, it is so. And that really is impressing this message of Netzach. Even at a time where you're going to die. Very fascinating. Where do we find the first time or the most famous incident of the word Netzach? And we'll develop this next week further. But where is the Netzach? It's the story of Shaul and Amalek. But what's the context? When Shaul leaves over, he's told to destroy Amalek completely. In 2.5 weeks, we're going to read Shabbos Zohar. And he leaves a few people behind. He leaves the king. He leaves some sheep. Yes, and Shaul and Shmuel says, "What's with you? Why didn't you destroy them?" And he said, "Well, what could I do? The people were pressuring me. They said, leave a few nice animals. Let's not kill the king right away. We'll kill him later." And he says, "Sorry, your kingdom has been given over to somebody else. It's going to someone who's better than you." And he says, "Oh, please, can't you forgive me? Can't you forgive me?" He says, "Too late." And he ends these words, "Vega Netzach." Oh, come on. Wake up. Let's go. Everyone thinks if you hit the table, it reacts.
Not for them.
I don't know. There you go. Adam huli hinachem. That's such an important pasuk.
Kilo avar. Kilo avar huli hinachem.
Kilo ma?
Kilo what?
Adam. Next line. Kilo Adam. Okay. So now he says Netzach. So we have to define what that means. Well, in 1 second. Does not Yishakir, doesn't lie. V'lo Yinachem, doesn't change his mind. Because he's not human. A human changes his mind. So what and who is the Netzach Yisrael? Okay. And what's the connection of Netzach Yisrael to Amalek? Very curious place.
I know, but how does
this all fit? So the Mitzudas Tzion, Radak, and Ralbag, they all seem to say it's talking about first of all, he's saying Netzach is Inyan Chozek v'Hiskabrut. Well, it's a constant of what? Strengthening. Power. So Netzach is power, is strength. And they bring some psukim to prove this. He's saying, Choskan shel Yisrael, the one who gives the strength to the Jews. Okay. He jumped down. The Ralbag says, Hu Hashem Yisbarach, referring to Hashem. He gives the strength to the Jews. And he brings psukim to show that. Okay. And the Radak says, he's not like a person changes his mind, because a person can promise something good, then get angry at you and change his mind. Mm-hmm. Not the same. The relationship's not the same. Have you ever had people you were good friends with and they promised you a lot of things and then something changed? But HaKadosh Baruch Hu ein bo shinui chefetz. You can't, there's no change of desires. Once he promised the Jews, lo yishaker lahem b'avtocha, so he doesn't renege on his promises. Afal pi shechatu, even if we sin, yiyasram kivichatam, he disciplines us according to our sin. Aval atova kayemes acharei kabbalas ansham, but the good will come after we get our punishment.
Beautiful.
And therefore, Hashem promised David HaMelech, he's going to be the new king. He's going to be the new king. He never promised the kingdom to Shaul. Shaul would only be the king as long as he was following the mitzvahs. But if not, not. But David HaMelech was promised, and therefore he gets it. So he says, Hashem does not, he doesn't go back on his word. And that obviously guarantees the Netzach Yisrael. The Netzach Yisrael means the one who gives strength to Israel.
Never knew that.
But Netzach Yisrael can also mean, thereby we have the eternity of the Jewish people. The Netzach Yisrael is really an adjective of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem is the Netzach Yisrael. He's the one who gives power to the Jewish people. And how? By lo yishakev, lo yishakev. He does not lie, he doesn't deceive, he doesn't go back. He's always going to be there. Hashem's in it for the long haul. But other commentaries, but it also obviously will mean Netzach Yisrael, the Jews will be eternal. Now, we have to develop this. This is a very, very big, big thing. The Maral has a whole sefer called Netzach Yisrael. A whole book called chapters and chapters.
Rabbi, is there any connection that Netzach and Pesach is 148 in Gematria? The same thing. Netzach and Pesach, 148.
Very good.
Is there a connection something?
Now that you said it, we'll find one. Thank you. Thank you. Pesach. Yes, Netzach.
So about Pesach.
Yes. So let's look a little bit more. Netzach can also be translated as victory. Nitzachon. Or eternity. Okay. What's the connection? Well, since Hashem is eternal, he will always be victorious against his enemies. But there's another word that Netzach is a root of.
Sorry.
We say in Tehillim, Lamenatzeach, Mizmor LeDavid.
A conductor.
Oh! Menatzeach is a conductor.
So the music, you
like. Same root. So what is unique about the conductor? What does the conductor do? Where is that word, Netzach, in the conductor?
Manages the world.
Because he takes a look at the whole orchestra. The whole 150-piece orchestra. He sees the big picture. He knows exactly who's supposed to play at what time. And that is Hashem is also the Menatzeach. He sees the big picture. He gives everybody certain jobs to do. He trains everybody. He runs the world with a plan. It's an amazing symphony. And we know a song can only be appreciated from beginning to the end. And the conductor is in charge of running the whole musical piece from beginning to end. Hashem is the conductor of the world from the beginning to the end. Now, we already mentioned, just for a little review. Again, we said that the first three spheres, you have to memorize these already. Chesed, Gvur, Tiferes, and then Netzach, Hod, and Yesod. So now, if you got Chesed on the right hand, what's Netzach? Which foot?
Right.
The right foot. So the Netzach, really, the right leg, is the extension of Chesed, the right arm. So the right arm wants to give, and the leg can propel the body forward. So Netzach continues the flow of Chesed and gives it out properly. You see, and this is what we're going to get to over here as we develop this. A lot of ideas. But it's nice to do Chesed. But it's nicer if the Chesed is Netzach. It's eternal. It's not to give once. The trick is to give many times. And this is a real issue in relationships. You can have spouses who are very strong in Chesed, but not strong in Netzach. And that's one of the reasons, not the only reason, why relationships are not sustaining themselves anymore. People do not understand the real nature of Netzach. They understand the false nature of Netzach, which we'll discuss. Remember, every Mida has a positive manifestation, and the opposite, that's a corruption of that manifestation. Now, you did, because I said Gematria, I'll give you another one here. Yes, Gematria of Netzach is 148, which it reflects this idea that it's able to implement the Chesed. Okay, so now the very interesting thing, you take a word, and you can look at it at each level, and you're going to see a broader idea. Let's take the word Chesed. Ches, Samach, Dalet. Now, listen carefully. So, you got Ches. The first letter alone is Ches. When you make Ches and then Samach together, Ches is 68. Chesed, all three of us, is 72. So now you put the four together, three together, 8, 68, and 72 is 148. So as you push the Chesed further, you see what I'm saying? Ches alone is 8. Ches Samach, the next two letters, is 68. Ches Samach Dalet, 72. All three equals 148. It's not a one-time chesed. If you can continue the chesed, do you see what we're doing here? Right? It grows into Netzach, which is 148. Now we have Netzach becomes the answer to the age-old question, why do the righteous suffer and why do the wicked prosper? One of the answers, and the most important answer, as the Vilna Gaon says, because Netzach really is long-term Chesed. Chesed is here. One time I do Chesed. Good. Now what about if I'm continuously going to do Chesed? That's Netzach. Now, what does that mean? It means I'm looking at the long-term and not the short-term. Sometimes, if you want to have long-term Chesed with a person, you don't give them everything they want right away. Sometimes you even have to take some things away. If in the long term, right? There's this poor beggar, we said. Okay, he wants somebody, you give him money. I don't know what he's going to do. He's going to buy drugs. Who knows? Chesed. What about your child? You're going to plan on long-term Chesed with him. So what about if what he's asking you may not be such a good thing? You're going to say no. Why? Don't you want to do Chesed to him? You do, but you want to also have Netzach with him. You want to be able to have a long-term giving relationship with him. So sometimes, to ultimately have chesed, you have to look at the bigger picture. You tell the kid, you know, I can't give you right now because I know soon you're going to get married and you're going to need a couple $100,000 for me to put a down payment on a house. I know you want tickets to the Super Bowl, which will cost $2,000. I'd love to give you two tickets to the Super Bowl for $2,000. And I know you'd like tickets to a concert and this and that. But I know you're getting married. You're going to need a house. I'm saving up so I can give you something that's going to be long term. Oh, you don't like me. You're not giving me. I'm giving you, but I'm giving you long term. Okay. So, because that's looking at the bigger picture. If you're looking at the whole picture, how does chesed now fit into the long term that I can do chesed forever with you? That's already a much longer picture. So sometimes, what does Hashem want to give a tzaddik more than anything else? The greatest pleasure of the world, no? He wants to give him, wants to give and give and give. So the biggest pleasure is Olam Haba, yeah? Okay, but the tzaddik, he wants to have something in this world too to be able to do mitzvahs. Yeah, okay, I'll give him some. But what if he's done an aveira? Just keep giving? Wait a minute, if I keep giving him now, what's going to happen when he gets all of a butt and we got to take care of business? It's going to be awfully painful. Maybe, what's better? What will give him more? Constantly giving him now?
Not the future.
Or to cut back a little bit now? Let him suffer a little bit now.
Cut back now.
So you can give him more. So you can give him more. That's the Netzach perspective. Focusing on eternity rather than the here and now. And this is the way God operates. That's his midah. We have to emulate a Kodesh Baruch Hu that way. Looking at the big picture. So therefore, now more than that, let's think of a little bit more. So it comes out that the metaphor of the leg means, therefore, that it's not an internal midah, but it also has to deal with outside forces. Just like the leg extends beyond the body, much more than your hand. So Netzach has to contend with external opposing forces. So that while chesed, you know, reaches out to engage, but netzach is continuous engagement. Netzach is all about, and these are the key words, persevering, prevailing, and also winning. It's the ability to make things happen, to fight laziness, to make goals, to press further, and to hit those goals. And when there are challenges in the way, the Netzach personality is not deterred. So let's say, for example, who has the, of all the seven midos, which mida do you need most to successfully undertake Daf Yomi?
Netzach.
You need Netzach. You need to have that, because you have to look. There's how many pages did we say? 3,000. How many pages?
2,711.
What was that?
2,711
days. So the guy says, "Oh, I'm gonna learn like crazy the first week, the first 2 weeks, the first 3 weeks." It's like running a marathon.
7.5 years.
It's a marathon. He's got to figure, okay, well, how am I going to make sure it's going to happen for 7.5 years? And what, of course, is going to happen during the 7.5 years? You're going to get sick.
You go to Florida.
Yes.
You're going to go to Florida.
Hopefully that is more.
You're going to go on vacation. You're going to, and then the internet connections will go down.
Right.
In Florida.
That one was.
And you're going online to hear your classes.
And it's a right.
And then there's going to be business and this and that and deadlines and all these things. So you have to keep plugging away. Because if you're going to stop in the middle, it's going to be finished. So therefore, Netzach is represented by Moshe, who is associated with the Torah that is forever. And he extends the chesed of Avram by giving us the greatest gift. What's the greatest gift? Even Avram didn't give people. Is the Torah.
The Torah.
Because the Torah gives you eternal life. The Torah gives you the ammunition to fight the biggest battle of all, and that's against the Yetzirah and the forces of Tumah. So Moshe gave us the greatest gift. Moshe, look at all the Netzach of Moshe if you go through his life. How he had to have Netzach strength, how he had to help to continuously do this. First thing he goes out, first day as the prince, he sees an Egyptian taskmaster beating up on a Jew. What does he do?
He kills him.
He then has to run away from Egypt. Next thing he sees, the daughters of Yisro are being disturbed by other people at the well. Mm-hmm. He throws them all out. He saves them. Right? He had to fight and persevere as the leader of the Jews. He had to fight against Paro. He had to went up to last week when he went up to get the Torah. The Malachim says, "Who is he to get the Torah?" And I said, and Hashem said, "Answer." He said, "I'm afraid to. They're gonna kill me." Hashem said, "Don't worry. Just answer.
Hold
him.
The leg of my.
Just answer him." He wrestles the Torah away from the Malachim. The Jews sin at the golden calf, and Hashem is gonna wipe them out completely. What does Moshe say? You do that, you might as well wipe me out. And Hashem says, "Okay, I'll forgive them." You have Korach, who wants to make a revolution, to turn the whole thing upside down. And what does Moshe do? He says, "Swallow him up." When he had to go into, before going to Israel, he had to fight against the giants Sichon and Og. He was a Baal Netzach, who always would win. Because he always would have to persevere. And we know that life is filled with obstacles and conflict. And that can cause internal or external clashes. And you have to face all kinds of distractions, all kinds of disappointment, despair. And you still have to keep showing up to work every day. You still got to, every day, serve Hashem. So now how can you remain true to the mission? So Netzach Nisi has a new factor, and it's called patience. A lot of people like to see results right away. Here, I give tzedakah to the poor man, a smile on his face, boom. Geschmack, it feels good. Yeah, but what do you have to work on something for a couple of years until you see a result? Well, I don't like to do that kind of chesed. You know, raising children is a big chesed. You're lucky if after 25 years you see something out of it. You know, it's long-term chesed, long-term struggling, right? That's why the world today isn't interested in having kids, because they don't have any netzach. They don't have any netzach, right? What do we say at the creation? Vayera ve'evoker, as evening was morning, that tells us that's the pattern of life. First comes the dark, then comes the light. You have to always know that there's difficult parts before nothing comes easy. Victory does not come easy. You have a kid who's a teenager, makes you crazy. You got to hold the course till they mature into being an adult. We had the Jews in Mitzrayim and Golas. Finally came Yetzias Mitzrayim. They were free. You have this world, which is very difficult. We have Olam Haba. So the struggle produces the growth. That's why din, judgment, can happen before chesed. Okay. So, it's interesting. A Medrash says, "Mi yitain tahar mi tameh." Who can bring purity from impurity? It's a pasuk in Iyov. Who can bring Avram from a terach? Who can bring the Jewish people from idol worship? Who can bring the world to come from this world? Only Hashem can do this. So how does it happen? The Medrash says, because it says, is it not he the only one? See, in the olden days, the idol worship, there were two gods, the good God who brought blessings and the bad God. But we say, Shema Yisrael, Hashem, Hashem, we know it's the same thing. Hashem created everything. He created purity, created impurity, created Yetzer Tov, Yetzer Ra. The ultimate is to bring purity out of the impurity. Okay. Now we want to take this. So that's one good understanding. So now you understand why Rav Schwab told those people going to the gas chambers not just Shema Yisrael, but Emes v'Yatziv v'Nachom v'Kayom v'Yashor v'Neman v'U v'Nechmad v'Neim v'Nerov v'Dirum v'Zekonim v'Kubol v'Tov v'Yaveh Devor Zeinu, that this good is eternal. Even though right now it's not. That's why he felt they should say this at that time. Now we're going to look at a piece. This piece I could not get translated into English. I'm sorry. So we're going to have to look at it here. It's a very long piece. I cut out pieces, but it's like such good stuff here. This is like, this takes it to a much deeper level, Rabbi Nachman. By the way, what's the gematria of Nachman? I think this works.
Nachman?
Nachman. Nun? Nun is 50. Ches is 8.
98.
Mem is 40. Nun Sofis is 50. 148.
148 again.
148. Nachman. Now we know Rabbi Nachman was one of the terrorized Chassid. He had enemies more than most Rebbes. From all over the place. They just couldn't understand what he was doing. Chassidus, this was in the early, it was not so easy. He did not have an easy life at all. Many enemies wanted to take him down. He had to keep fighting. And in his Likutei Maran, he has a very short piece on Nitzachon. And then his Talmud, Rabbi Nosson, has a long piece. Woohoo! But oh, is it good? Sometimes you gotta chew through it. It's good stuff. This is good. This is so instructive. So Rabbi Nachman talks about the pasuk, "V'gam netzach Yisrael lo yishaker." So look what he says: "Ki ze yadua, it is known, shemidas hanitzachon eina sovelet ha'emet." The attribute of victory, you'll see what he means in a minute, cannot tolerate the truth. Wow. Person goes out to battle, cannot tolerate the truth. We'll see what that means in a minute. Ki af im yera ela einayim devar emet. Even if his eyes see the truth. Yidchosol machmas anitzachon. He'll push it away. Because of his desire to win. Very simple. Just think in your mind, a liberal Democrat. A liberal Democrat. They only want to do one thing. Win.
Yeah.
The truth is staring you in the face. You don't want to hear it. Trump should never have been president. He stole the election. He has to still not be president. So we're gonna win. We're gonna impeach him. Everybody's telling you it's not a good idea to impeach him. He's gonna go up and not down. Everybody was telling him, "I'm gonna do it anyway." And what happened? He went up. And now what? We'll impeach him again.
We elected
again. That they don't care, because why? He's saying midas is enough so velat or emet.
It happened in Israel.
It can't.
Today.
Yeah.
Today also the same.
Same thing.
Israel happened today.
However, achlo kemidat basar vadam midat Hakadosh Baruch Hu, but not the way people understand Nitzachon. It's the way Hashem understands Nitzachon. He's describing you the false Nitzachon. This is what's so important. Because even when Hashem wins, it is with truth. And Hashem will never lie. In other words, you look at your classic warrior, your classic minatzeach, is he doesn't care if it's true or not. As a matter of fact, if the truth is in conflict with his winning, he's not interested. Hashem, his victory is consistent with the truth. Now this needs further explanation. It's a great story that with the Chavetz Chaim, there was once a family involved in a huge machloikas with another family. Huge! And there was Lashon Hara going on back and forth and back and forth. It was terrible, terrible. And during the course of, this was years, And during the course of the fighting, each family suffered horrific, untimely deaths of their children. Each side. So the Chafetz Chaim called one of the families in and says, brings out a Gemara, brings out everything. He says, listen, forget about right or wrong. Your kids are dying. Shouldn't you stop? Forget about, let's say you're right. Don't you care about your kids? So the guy said, quote, I don't care if all my kids die as long as I win.
Why?
Okay? As long as I win. That's what Rabbi Nachman means, is that Hamida Sanitzachon Eina Sovelet HaEmet. Right? The truth is, you need to have secure borders to have a country, yes? You know it's secure borders. The truth is, you can't let every criminal run around at large. The truth is, you got to deport the criminals, because they're going to kill other people. The liberals say they could destroy the whole country as long as we're in power. As long as we win. Rabbi Nachman wrote this in like 1800. You think it's any been different? It's not been any different. So now his student, Rabbi Nosson, he really has a lot to say over here. It's a big, big piece. I cut out a lot, but it's still... So he starts with Zikaron. He says, we'll focus on the bolds, but he's saying the first thing you have to know is Lishmor Ma'od Modes HaZikaron. You got to really remember. I'll tell you what to remember. You got to be very careful with your memory. What do you got to remember? What's the most important thing that a Jew has to remember?
The Emet.
More specific. Dainu liskar heitev bechol yom. You have to remember every day.
Well,
be'almad de'asei, the world to come. So yishkach milibo es tachlito hanitzchi. You cannot forget your ultimate goal in life. Your ultimate goal in life is olam haba, straight direct flight. Nothing else you have to remember as much as that. More than even your wife's anniversary or birthday, which is important too. If you forget it, she might kill you, but at least you're going to Olam Haba. But
is that bad? You better go to Olam Haba.
Do you hear what Zikaron? He says you have to be very careful to Zikaron. Zikaron, you have to have this memory in general and in detail. He says, in general, when every Jew gets up in the morning, as soon as he gets up in the morning and opens up his eyes, he has to remember that he's a person who wants to go to Olam Haba. And then in the details, how will my Olam Haba be affected if I do this, or I do this, and I learn, or this and that? And then, then he talks about Ramazim. There's little hints Hashem gives you throughout the day to remind you that there's this Olam Haba. Ki ikar ha'adam ba la'olam hazeh, the main reason why you're in this world, bishvil ha'zikaron hazeh, to remember this thing, kidei shidabek machshavto, to constantly think of Olam Haba. To know that this whole world is hevel v'rik, nonsense. A shadow that flies away, a cloud that poof, it's like the in we say on Yom Kippur. And you should know, life in this world is just every day of anger and suffering. You don't get anything from the work. This world is not what counts. You have to remember that the next world, that's what you're working for. The only reason you're in this world, only for the eternal goal of the world to come. You should clean yourself up, fix yourself in this world, and that you should merit eternal life in the world to come. And a person's got to remember this all day, every moment, this eternal world, and to cleave to these thoughts of the world to come, always. And he should remember this all the time, and not to fool yourself, and not to trick yourself. And then he talks about, there are three especially holy areas to think about. Things that, what is the thing that would remind you of Olam HaBa or anything else? The Beis HaMikdash. in place. If you want to look at any place in this world, it reminds you of Olam Haba, it's the Beis HaMikdash. Any day of the week that will remind you of Olam Haba is Shabbos. And any person who will remind you of that is the Kohen Gadol. And the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur with Shabbat Shabbaton in the Beit HaMikdash, that is the ultimate Olam Haba in this world. And then it filters. It filters through. So we had a Beis HaMikdash, a Kohen Gadol, Yom Kippur. Just go there. But you can't be there. It's only once a year. So it filters. It filters. Shabbos comes. It's a remez. Taste of the world to come. You see a tzaddik. You see a shul. It should be remez. You have these throughout the day. But then he taught, and then you'll understand what you're supposed to be doing to do the will of Hashem. He says, and then he talks about the ayin ra. The ayin ra, the bad eye. The guy who's, in English, fancy word, I'm not saying a bad word. Niggardly. Niggardly. I'm not saying a bad word. The word is, you don't like other people have. And you got to always have more. It's ayin ra. He says, someone who has an ayin ra, and he wants to always beat everybody, right? And that ayin ra is going to try to stop you from Kedusha. And you're going to try to win certain areas in life that have nothing to do with Kedusha. He says, don't consider that a victory. And he says in the bold, Ki anitzachon she'ena bishvil ha'emes la'mito kasher Hashem yisparach yudemes. If your victory is not a true victory, the way Hashem says this is a victory, a nikr b'shem nitzachon klal, it's not called a victory at all. Adarabba, whom it's not seches asma, he is defeating himself by himself. You're getting into a fight with somebody, a monetary issue, and you think you're the one who should get the money, and he says, no, you shouldn't get the money, and this and that, and maybe to a certain side, let's say you're a rich man, and the guy maybe really owes you the money. And now you're going to take him to court, and you have more lawyers, and you could beat him, and you could get it. But the guy's a poor guy. Do you think that's what Hashem wants you to do?
No.
But you go, I'm going to beat him. I'm going to show you.
That's horrible.
And you'll win. But you should know you're going to win, but you're going to defeat yourself.
True.
The only thing you got to win is a battle that Hashem tells you to win. Now look at this. This is like unbelievable. Ki nitzachon yesh lo shnei perushim. There's two definitions of nitzachon. Lashon nitzachon, victory. Lashon nitzchius, and eternity. Eternity. Umi shemistakel ha'emes. And if you look at the truth, shnei ha'perushim echad. The two definitions are the same. Why? Ki rak ha'nitzachon ha'nitzchi. Only the eternal victory, zenitzachon amiti, is a true victory. An eternal victory means a victory that Hashem, the Eternal One, wants you to win. Mm-hmm. That is, if it's an eternal victory, it's a victory. Only if it's eternal. Avoditzachon shulafisha'a bazelam. But if it's a temporary, if you're winning now in this world, but that's all. It's not a battle Hashem told you to fight. Ain't an etzachon klal, isn't a victory at all. Adraba hu menatzeches ma. No, he's defeating himself. Me'acher she'ech she'yeh, because however it turns out, hu oserala, he eventually does the bad, the victory against him. And then he goes through, he says, you look in history, the real balei nitzachon of the false side always end up defeated. Like it says in Pirkei Avos, Hillel saw a skull floating on the water. He says, because you drowned him, you got drowned. Because you drowned him, you got drowned. You had a nitzachon, but then you got drowned. And he says, as we can see, b'chush, that sometimes this king wins, and this king wins many battles, and then afterwards comes others against him, and then they beat him, and they knock him down. And even if he's successful for a long time, his children come and overthrow him. And even if it's for many years and you leave the kingdom over to your kids, Then what's going to happen? The other people are going to come and just destroy your kids till there's nothing left. And that's the stories you see with all the kingdoms, the French, the English, all that. They're killing themselves out. They're spending their whole lives trying to destroy the other guy. At the end, he gets killed too.
He stole too.
Go through all the 100 years wars, the English, the French, cloak and dagger, the whole cloak and dagger. We got to do what we can to get to the top. How long you stay there? Even one, two, three generations, eventually they get knocked out. Look at this in the boat. Kionim Pashut, but a simple guy. A simple little shmau. Ena Shachir Shachiso. It's not that often that he gets totally wiped out. Vesarolagamri. A regular, simple, honest tailor. Could have generations of tailors. But the big, 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 big king, how long is it going to be already? Because you see, when you win these kinds of battles, there's so many people gunning for you. You think you win now? There's somebody want to take you down afterwards. What if you know to be mevater? What if you know to give in? You think you're a loser.
You win.
But Hashem tells you, that's how I want you to win. That's winning for Hashem. Then he says, look at this. If you got a brain in your cranium, you should make fun and joke of those victories. Is this a victory? You win and win. And at the end, you're going to get totally wiped out? Is this a victory? And even if his kingdom stays for a long time, at the end of the day, you're gonna have to give a din and leave it. You have to give a din for all the people who died in these battles. You're a king. You went to war. You know how many people died just for your power? He says, "Is the world hefker? Don't you think at the end of the day, God's going to come to Henry VIII and say, why did you have some people die for your foolish things? You wanted power to have tens of thousands of people die just in service of the king? All that blood was spilled? Hashem is going to come for every single thing that he destroyed, even the horses that got killed. Certainly the blood of people. And certainly someone who stood up against the Jewish people and has spilled Jewish blood. At the end, he's going to get wiped out. So all these victories are foolishness. Because the person is not really concentrating on the real truth. It's not a victory at all. Because it won't, his victory will not help him to eventually win. But the opposite, he'll get punished and ashamed because of this. And he'll have to be humbled before the ultimate victor who's stronger than him in this world and the world to come. Because God seeks out that who is chased. Now, he concludes. Okay, Ikar HaNitzachon, therefore the main victory is Nitzachon Nitzchi, is an eternal victory. Dino Misha Zochel Natzech Es Atzmo, if you can defeat yourself, L'Natzech Tavosav Umidasav Harem, to defeat your own bad manners and lusts. Defeat your own flaws. And to defeat anybody who wants to take you away from the God truth. And anyone who wants to take you away from Hashem, fight him. Because those are battles that are l'shem shemaim. Because since his intention is really for, truly for heaven, so you're aligning yourself with the eternal cause. He's going to win. How it'll have to come. Kimish kavanaso be'emeslamito b'shvil siri, because you really care about the side of holiness. However you conduct yourself, you will always win. In the bold, kikol peula utnak tana gedolab shoseb shonis chazal. Any activity, small or big, you do for this kind of victory, he nisheres kayemes lo netzach ol mialas. It will remain forever. Hashem does not hold back a reward for a good deed, even if it's a simple conversation. Nimsa comes out. If a person looks at the real truth, You go in the way of the truth. Umishtadel, and you make efforts. Umisegei, and you wear yourself out constantly. You don't have to fear about any bad eyes. Because what can anybody do to him if his intention is for the good? And therefore he will always win. And now he quotes his Rebbe, Rebbe Nachman, in the brackets there. He says, V'gamnetzach Yisrael lo yeshaker. He writes, and now he goes on that line. Mashin yitzachon ein esolomis. He says, victory cannot tolerate the truth. Now you understand why victory cannot tolerate the truth. Because you have your own agendas. Aval Hashem yisparach, afilu ben yitzchon lo yeshaker. But when Hashem wins, he doesn't lie. Hainu kiniskalel, as we said before. Kirak Hashem yisparach v'chol hachafetzim lasa shem. Only Hashem and those who want to do His will truthfully, heim zochum chinas pesach. They merit the aspect of eternal winning. Hainu b'chinas nitzachon hamiti, a true victory. B'chinas netzek v'sholo yeshaker, a battle that the Jews will never be false. Avol shara nitzchonos, but any other victory, heim kulam shekel, they're all false. V'en yuchon lisbol, and they can't tolerate the truth. And you tell them the truth, nifla v'noira. You tell them the real truth. She efshal achisha b'shum, and they can't argue with it. It's true, but it goes against their winning. They push it off with silly excuses because they want to win bad so badly, and that's the aspect of Ayin Ra. And therefore, what happens? They forget. Olam Haba. They forget what happens at the end. Right? That's what's going to happen. Okay, because they know themselves. They think. They don't think about the end. They think they're so wonderful. They're so righteous with all their tithes. They're all buried in the worst filth. And they'll admit it themselves. But they just don't want to deal with it. And then he talks about so mihu shemishu natzchan, someone who's a winner, but he forgets the real world, and therefore they don't do tshuva to Kodesh Baruch Hu. And he says that was what all started on the 17th of Tammuz. That's when Shikha came. The Gemara says when Moshe broke the luchos, Shikha came into the world because they were forgetting about Olam Haba when they decided to go with the eagle. So what do you see from this amazing, amazing, amazing piece? He says, yes, that Netzach means victory. It means eternal. The only victories you should be involved with are for eternal causes. And the eternal causes are the causes that Hashem wants. And those victories are permanent victories. And you'll always win those victories. Hashem wants you to battle your Yetzirah. He wants you to battle your bad midos. That's what He wants you to battle. He wants you to battle for Jewish causes. And that will help you to what? To never forget what your cause, your ultimate cause is Olam Haba. But if you're busy fighting everything else, and on many levels we're fighting for Parnassah, and you're busy, just how am I going to win the Parnassah game? You forget these other things. You spend all this effort on battles that at the end of the day, these battles that you win, you may have won today, but everyone's going to try to take you down. You spend your whole life fighting to stay where you're at, but sooner or later they're going to take you down. There's no such thing as you don't go down. You don't go down, then your children go down. If your children go down, it's got to go down. Because there's no netzach to it. You have to have a battle. You see what he's saying? A battle has to be a battle of an eternal cause. And a battle of an eternal cause will be eternally successful in one way or another. Even if you lose the battle, you will succeed because you'll win it in Olam Haba. Even if you go to the battle and you die al Kiddush Hashem, you still are an eternal winner because you are eternally in Olam Haba. Well, the people are only winning battles in Olam Haza and they forget about Olam Haba, not only going to lose eventually in Olam Haza, you don't even have an Olam Haba. And that's, he gives some examples. If you got things in the way, if you're fighting a holy battle, that's okay. It's just for the time being. So sometimes you look at obstacles, but really that just makes it better. For example, the difficult child teaches us patience. It's a battle worth fighting if you want to teach him to be a good Jewish child. Parnasa can teach us bitachon. A neighbor insults us, we can be successful in self-control. The temptation to lie or cheat flexes our honesty muscles. The knowledge that troubles are sent by Hashem to provoke our growth empowers us to forge ahead and overcome our obstacles. But the key is nitzachon for God's causes. So the next time you decide to have a fight with somebody, ask yourself a simple question. Is this a godly fight or not? Are you fighting for yourself or are you fighting Hashem's battles? And that's the negative aspect of Netzach. You could take that same power, so I'm not going to give in till the end, but for something that has nothing to do with Kedusha. Now, if you look at it with the right lens of Netzach, that's the conductor. We said, sees the big picture. Well, what's the real big picture? It's Olam Haba. And never forget that it's Olam Haba. And that's why Akavya ben Mahalas, if you look at three things, you won't even come to the grips of sin. Know where you came from, where you're going, and before you have to give a judgment to. It makes a whole big difference if you know that Olam Haba is the end game, and you're trying to get in there, and you're not forgetting that. So every battle is a battle that gets you into Olam Haba. And therefore, you're only going to bother to get involved in spiritual battles. Only the battles that Hashem wants you to fight. That's why we have the vision. Sir Rebbe says, why are you worried about the next 70 years and not about the day after those 70 years? The Chofetz Chaim tells of a chassid who met a group of soldiers who were victorious in the battlefield. And he said, you've returned from a victory, from a small war. A small war? Yes, now prepare for the big war. He says, what about the big war? Now go try to fight the Yetzirah. Right? And that's the whole mission statement of Netzach. Is finding yourself in that big picture of life and realize you're a warrior for Hashem's truths and you have to target the right enemies, preparing for that great war to get you into Olam Haba. And that is ultimately the deeper pshat in Netzach Yisrael Lo Yishaker is the Jewish people. As Rabbi Yaakov Emden says, the greatest miracle of all the miracles is what? That the Jews have lived through the Golos. And the only Jews who lasted through the Golos is the ones who had the meat of Netzach. That they understood that whatever we're doing now, it's for Olam Haba. And every decision I make now is a long-term repercussions. I mean, only battle to fight the fights that are spiritual fights and not the physical fights. And ultimately, the final battle is the battle of eternity, where you give yourself eternal life. And that's Netzach, is a sodi in the soul with the power to overcome those obstacles which stand in the way of realizing one's chesed operations, aspiration, to bestow goodness upon creation. Insofar as the word Netzach denotes victory in eternity, it can be said that the ultimate victory is Netzach, is that over death itself. That when you die, you don't die. That's the ultimate Netzach. And we have to stop it here. There's much more to talk about. We're going to have to see how this all will tie in to Purim and to Moshe and everything else. But this was an important foundations. This is just big, big yesodis. What to fight over in life and what to win over.